Today we're going to be in Matthew chapter 15 and 16. So I call this dinner at the Lord's Diner. So this is going to be like a diner that you've never ever see on the earth. And that's the way the Lord does things. You know, I have to admit, this week it was actually a really good week. And this, I'm really preaching this message more towards me. That's what it always seems like than anything else. Like this week, and I found out a person was going to leave my group, getting a different job from another area, and I was just like, wow, how are we going to do this? And I went and tried to get a backfill, and of course the answer was, no, you're good. I'm like, no, I'm not good. And so this message about dealing with, you know, the possibilities that are out there, just partnering with the Lord, really struck home to me. Is like, you know, you can't necessarily look at what you have on paper, but it's what the Lord has in store for you and what His math is. All right. So let's go ahead and get into it. Oops, a little too far. Okay, so the Lord decided, in feeding of the 5,000, Jesus said, I'm here to preach the good word to the lost sheep and the lost lambs of the nation of Israel. And Decapolis was technically part of Israel during David's kingdom and Solomon's kingdom, but it had really kind of been taken over in this particular region. It's called the Decapolis by Gentiles. In BC 69, Pompeo, which was a Greek general, went in and invaded and took it over, and he said, well, it's called Hellenize. Helen is a synonym for Greece, and I'm going to take these 10 cities because Israel had gone into captivity and then come back. And they were greatly reduced in number, probably less than or at 10% of what they had at their peak. And so these cities, they were the remnants that were there, and there was, you know, the foundation is there, but there was nobody there, as far as Jews go. And so Pompeo came in, he said, we're going to Hellenize this, and there were Jews in these 10 cities that were there. I got my pointer working today, better batteries, thank you, Jonathan. So this is the Decapolis right here, and Pompeo said, we're going to take these 10 cities, And we're going to Hellenize them, meaning that we're going to put the Greek culture in there. That meant, you know, the worship of idols, the worship of the Greek gods, of Zeus and you know, Apollo and all that stuff. And so they brought the culture into these cities, but they had Jewish roots and Jewish foundations. And so the Jews that were here in Judea would never have anything to do with the Decapolis. Like, if you're going to the Cap, as I call it, and you're in Gentile land, even though there were Jews that were there. Here is Samaria. That's where Jesus met the woman at the well. And if you look, this area is currently in modern-day Jordan. So here is Israel, and here's Jerusalem, and this area here I have with a square around it would be considered Decapolis. And you can see Philadelphia and then some of these other cities that were there. So the Jews would have like been horrified on this, like, you're going nowhere, because they thought these guys were totally unclean. They were heathen. They were not really Jews, even though they had Jewish origins and they had Jewish ancestry. But they were really practicing kind of the Greek culture. So that would be a big stumbling block for these guys for sure. All right, so let's go ahead and get into it. Matthew 15, we'll go ahead, we're going to go ahead and be in verses 29 to 31. Jesus departed from there, skirting the Sea of Galilee, and went up on the mountain and sat down there. So that would have been a big no-no for the Jews back then, because they would do everything in their power let me back up a slide. So this is the Sea of Galilee right there, and here's the Dead Sea. They would go out of their way to stay out of this area here, and especially in Decapolis. They would do everything in their power to stay out of Samaria. They would walk, take the long route around the Dead Sea, and so that they wouldn't have to enter in that region. And then going through Samaria was a little iffy, too. They considered them not real Jews, and then Galilee, so where Jesus was. So Jesus was here on the Sea of Galilee, and he went around this area right around there. Starting verse 30, then great multitudes came to him, having with them the lame, blind, mute, maimed, many others, and they laid them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. So the multitude marveled when they saw the mute speaking, the maimed made whole, the lame walking, the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. Sorry, I should have advanced the slide. There it goes. So what happened there? So he goes into Gentile territory, and he just immediately starts healing. They bring to him, they're blind, they're lame, they're mute, all kinds of sickness and infirmities, and he just healed them on the spot. There was no, like, specialist, there were no, like, oh, you need to go to see the pharmacy, there was no waiting in line, okay, what's your insurance, what's your copay? He just healed them right on the spot. And that's the kind of God he was. And it just, they immediately saw this and they just glorified God. Cause they're, back then they didn't have all the medical knowledge. They didn't have like Mayo Clinic where they just go, I just send them to Mayo and have this, these infirmities healed. And if you were blind, I mean, that was it. There was, unless there was a miracle and then Jesus brought it, I mean, you were blind for the rest of your life. The same with being mute, couldn't speak, or if you were crippled, there was no way to get out of this. And really, this was their only hope. And that was Jesus. In Isaiah chapter 35, verses 5 through 6, Isaiah prophesies amongst hundreds of these prophecies in Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and even 1 and 2 Samuel. It says, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing, for water shall burst forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. So you see this streams of water just being flown and opened up where people are being healed and they're glorifying God. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees that were there, they saw this or their representatives saw this and they knew what was going on. And so there, you'll see here in a few minutes, you know, why do they have such unbelief? But the Gentiles, just like the Jews in the feeding of the 5,000, they're like, wow, this is amazing, because they didn't have anything else, and they glorified God. And so at the King's Diner, the first thing you'll see right off the bat is there's a medical clinic that is 100% effective. It's like you just go there, you don't have to have any wait lines, there's no, okay, what's your insurance, is this covered, oh, you need to go see the specialist. You need to go to the pharmacy. There's some side effects. He just, like I said, healed him right on the spot. And, I mean, it would be amazing. Think about this today. Everybody has issues in their body that need fixing. It could be something with your, like my nose would constantly run and I had to go in and get that squared away. And I still trying to, you know, get that figured out. But all of us have infirmities, things that just that are not quite right. Like we're going to be praying, you know, we'll pray for somebody in our church who's going to get a knee replacement soon. And there's just things that we have to deal with. There was COVID-19 that's floating around the world that people need healing from. And so one thing you'll notice at the King's Diner, there's actually, you can be healed, which is probably unlike any diner that you'll see here on the planet. All right. Continuing. Starting at verse 32, now Jesus called his disciples to himself and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they have continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I do not want to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way. And his disciples said to him, where can we go get enough bread in the wilderness to feed such a great multitude? And he said to them, how many loaves do you have? And he said, 7 and a few little fish. And what did this, so what did the disciples have? Okay, sorry, that was my notes. they said 7 and a few little fish. Okay, so Jesus says, okay, I feel compassion on the multitude. What do you got? And they say, well, we got a few fish. You know, we got some, 7 bread loaves, and that's about it. So in modern day, if I was like at my job or, just wherever, we would say, okay, we need to find out, do we have a kitchen for this? Do we have any appliances? What kind of, who's going to be our bread person? Who's going to be the fish person? Who's going to, how are we going to get proper utensils? How are we going to, where are people going to sit? There'll be all those logistics. But Jesus says, okay, what do you got? And so like today, we need to figure out how many resources we have. Do we have enough food to feed everybody? What's this going to be on my budget? How am I going to be able to afford this? Is this going to hit the bottom line? You know, there are all these considerations as humans would be. And Jesus says, okay, what do you got? Because, you know, Jesus, see if I can get a little advance. Jesus is not limited. He'll just take whatever you have. And that's the kind of God he is. There it goes, sort of. He's not limited. And so at the King's Diner, you'll find out right away that you come, and he isn't limited by earthly things. He'll just say, okay, what did you bring? So only at the King's Diner can you really eat something for nothing. And we'll see that here in a minute. But let's continue on verse 35. So he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and the fish and gave thanks, broke them, and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave to the multitudes. So they ate and were filled, and they took up 7 large baskets full of fragments that were left. And those who ate were 4,000 men beside women and children. And they sent away the multitude, got into the boat, and came to the region of Magdala. All right, so right off the bat, you see that, okay, there were 4,000 men that were counted, but there was probably closer to about 12,000 when you factor in women and children. And this is a lot. I mean, this is like a small city that was out there. And just imagine, all these people are being healed. You know, if you found out, like, if there was somebody in Pinal County that was there and they were healing somebody, I guarantee you'd have just people going to there. So there was a huge crowd that day. So they didn't have, like, you know, convenience stores and, you know, restaurants that were out. They didn't have any gas stations or hotels. I mean, you just went and you were out there. There were no Arby's or McDonald's or anything like that. You just had to bring whatever you had. And so Jesus, he just says, okay, well, what do you got? And he just performs a miracle that people would be just, they were absolutely amazed. So he just got done healing them, and now he's going to feed them. So only at the King's Diner, see if it'll do it. Maybe. Okay. I don't know if you can click it for me. Okay. Only at the King's Diner can you eat something for nothing. Only God can make something out of absolutely nothing. And that's what we see in the creation. So here, you know, if we went to a normal diner, it'd be, okay, well, you know, what's on the menu? What do you have? What's the house specialty? What's, if it's seafood or fish, what came in? What's the season for it? Then you'd have to calculate things and you know, how long is the wait? But here, you can literally get something for nothing, which, you know, is amazing. All right, next thing at the King's Diner. Okay, only at the King's Diner are you required to eat and serve others. So, you know, the disciples come and they say, well, they give them the 7 loaves and a few fish. But it required everybody to give and eat and then also help serve others. Now, I've always wondered how Jesus did this. Okay, you only have a small number of fish and bread. And you know, how did it just suddenly multiply? Did people bring it and then just suddenly it just came out? Did he just miraculously expand it? I think he actually started miraculously. Like, here's a basket, and then that basket, like, oh, there's another basket there, and oh, there's another basket there. I think it was like, I don't think they had any food. Because if they did, then it wouldn't be the miracle that you'd see today. So it literally, he just made something out of nothing. But at the diner, you've got to prepare when you're to serve others as well as eat. Okay, only at the King's Diner do you eat and worship. And so, you know, in a restaurant today, if you were going to go to, let's say, you know, McDonald's or like Red Lobster or something like that. I'm getting hungry. He's talking about it, actually. You certainly wouldn't go. You would eat for sure, but then to worship God. And that's what happened when Jesus healed the multitudes. And you'll see this at the end where they just worship the Lord. All right, next one. Only at the King's Diner can you rely on heavenly resources. Do you rely on heavenly resources? So you show up and Jesus gives you what you have. You bring what you have, we give and receive, but only Jesus can give the food when you're no longer hungry. And Jesus said, hey, if you come to me, all who labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. And he says, come to me, I am the bread of life. I am the water where that he who comes to me will never be thirsty. You know, and so this is the most unlike any diner you'll ever see in that. Once you're fed, you never have to be fed again. And that's from heavenly resources. All right, next. So what we find at the diner? At the King's Diner, God's resources are never diminished or exhausted. That's really the thing that we got to remember here, that when we're partnering with the Lord, you know, in human terms, they're always saying, okay, well, how much material can you get out? Or, you know, what's the profit margin on this? You know, we need to get this amount of material to the customer and they require this amount. And you're always, you know, trying to figure out, maximize resources and come up with ways to get through your bottleneck or the place that is your most restrictive thing. Well, in God, with God's math, there is no restriction on resources because he can create whatever he needs. His resources aren't diminished or exhausted. All right, next point. At the King's Diner, no matter how much it costs you, you always get more than you put in. So when they got done, they had 7 full baskets. You really can't outgive God. No matter how much you have, no matter what you give, you always get more than you put in. All right, at the King's Diner, the King actually sits with you. And that's amazing too. What did Jesus do? I'm sure he ate with them as well. Isn't that just an awesome just thing to consider? That, you know, if you were going to go see, you know, today, like if you're going to go see the president, or, you know, there's a king or whoever, you know, maybe the CEO of the company. You know, is the CEO going to sit with you? Probably not. But the king actually goes and he wants to have dinner with you. He didn't go, it doesn't say in the scripture where he says, okay, he fed the 4,000, then he just like went off and did his own thing. He went off into the king's chamber. No, he actually comes and sits with you. All right, next. All right, at the King's Diner, if you don't have faith, if you don't have love, you have no service. So there's a, you know, famous sign in front of restaurants that says, no shoes, no shirt, no service. Well, and here, this is really the crux of the matter is, where's the faith? And that's where the people there, they just said, you know, he's going to heal us. They're there. And we'll see in a few minutes where the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they did not have faith, they did not have love, and they really weren't there for any kind of service. Because in Hebrews 11:6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So if you want to engage in the King's Diner, you've got to actually believe that Jesus is the Christ, that he is the Son of God. Otherwise, it's not going to work. Deuteronomy 6:5, it says, you shall love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. And so you've just, in order to participate at the King's Diner, you have to have faith. All right, we'll see that. Okay, in Matthew 16, verse 19, it says, and I will give you kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth, be bound in heaven, and what will be loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. I think I went a little too far on that one. I meant to say, go into Matthew 16. Let me get that. I think I missed a slide, or I skipped a slide. And starting on verse 1, then the Pharisees and the Sadducees came, testing him, and said, asking him, show me a sign. And he answered and said to them, when in the evening you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red, and in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign shall be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed. All right. So the Pharisees, they demanded a sign. And they were going to get one, except the sign from the which was Jonah, which was the coming of the resurrection. See, the Pharisees, they were like, they saw him feed the 5,000, and they saw him feed the 4,000, and they saw the miracles, and they saw the healings, but they had no faith in him, and they said, we want you to do it our way. We want you to, your disciples need to wash their hands. You need to follow the example of our elders. And he told them, look guys, by your traditions have negated the law that you so claimed to hold so fast to. Because your traditions say, for example, the Bible says to honor your father and mother. But under your traditions, people could just say, oh, this is Corbin. Like my offering that I could give to my father and mother who are in need, this can just go to the church, and that is my offering. And so by their traditions, they negated what the law said. And he's telling them, look, guys, you can't participate in the king's diner unless you have faith in me, unless you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And they're like, no, wait a minute. We want the Messiah to come on our terms. And that's where the disconnect was. So if there's no faith, there's no love, there's no service. And they just couldn't get past it. But the very thing that the Pharisees wanted was the thing that Jesus offered to Peter here in Matthew 16:19. It says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So the very thing that they craved, that power, was given freely by Jesus, but you have to come to him with the right heart. You have to come to him not with your own pretenses and not with your own traditions and your own mindset, but you've got to take on the operating system of the living God. And so Peter makes this confession and to Jesus, and he says, here's the kingdom keys of the kingdom of heaven. So what do we know about the king's diner? Unlimited resources. You get more than what you come in. When you come and eat, you come and worship him. You come and bow down at his feet. But without love and without faith, it's impossible to please God. And you've got to really believe that he is the Lord and the Son of the living God. So let me go ahead and close in prayer. If there's anybody that has any prayer requests, if there's any particular like sicknesses or things we need to pray over, you can come up here. Myself and the elders will pray over you and bring those requests to God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you that you've given us so much that we can just come to your presence and then have full access to the kingdom of heaven, Lord. And those things that as long as we are in agreement, that we bow at your feet, we love you, Lord, that we can have all kinds of resources that you give us, Lord. And we just thank you for that. But most of all, we just thank you that we are able to participate with you in the kingdom of heaven, Lord, that you invite us there, that you sit with us, that you're not shy, that you still claim us as your own. Even when we fail and not do what you say and disappoint you, Lord, that you still take us in, that you still invite us to dinner, and that, you know, Lord, that in Revelation 22 and 20, we hear about the great wedding feast. And Lord, you haven't given up on us, Lord, that the Lamb's book of life is open to us, Lord, and it's to anybody that just wants to be there, Lord. And the Lamb's great wedding feast where you still claim us, Lord. And there's going to be a great wedding feast at the end of the earth, Lord, at the end of time. And we just look forward to that. We just can't wait to sup with you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.